Okay, we're going to call to order here this morning. We don't have a quorum yet, so we'll just get going and Chair Wagenius start talking about the House File 2314. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I will wait for a few minutes to move the bill because we do not have a quorum yet, but I will just make a couple of remarks before we have our fiscal analyst go over the spreadsheet, which was posted yesterday, and remarkably, I have gotten no feedback at all yesterday on the spreadsheet, so it'll be an interesting morning. I know that members on both sides of the aisle have the same attitude about the environment that I do, that we want to do everything we can to protect our waters, to protect our air and our lands. But we also have to respond to our governor, and this is a bill and that is responding to our governor. So the bill itself is a total reflection of the spreadsheet. There is no policy in this particular bill. It was posted later than we would like yesterday, and we have had to make two very technical amendments to it, but there are no more than that. So you will get, the bill is being copied right now, and you will get it in a few minutes, but let me assure you, there's no policy in it. What is important here is the spreadsheet, and our very good fiscal analyst has done something for this committee that I haven't seen in other committees, and I just would like to tell you about it. What you can see from the smaller of the spreadsheets is the percent change that is the accumulation of the unallotments and the reductions that the chair is proposing. So what you have is an accumulation. That is not the 6 point, those accumulations are not the same as the general fund decrease, which is less. So I just wanted you to understand that. In the spreadsheet, the more detailed spreadsheet that Mr. Reinholz will be talking to you about, we do that unallotment and cuts combined percentages, so you can see how one category fares vis-a-vis another category. I think it gives you a better perspective of what is going on in the whole budget rather than our doing a cut on top of another cut and you're not being able to see the comparison to other parts of the budget. So that's why you're seeing the spreadsheet that way. And with that, if there are no questions from members, I would ask Mr. Reinholz if he would begin to go over the spreadsheet for you.
Representative Guineas, just a moment here. I'm going to ask you to formally introduce the bill here. We do have a quorum.
I move that House File 2314 be passed and re-referred to Finance, and I would then move the DE2 amendment to get the bill. Oh, we don't have it yet. I didn't know that you all didn't have it. I do have a copy of it. So we'll wait for. I'm just going to move the House File 2314 to be passed and re-referred to Finance, and what you will be getting in just a moment is a delete everything amendment, members.
Very good. Please proceed. Mr. Reinholz, if you
Mr. Chair, members, you should have in your packet several spreadsheets that implement the supplemental bill, and I will go through those now and summarize them and also answer any questions that people have. I'll start out with the overall summary. It's a one-page one that up in the left-hand corner is Environment Natural Resource Finance General Fund. It should be familiar with this. These have been distributed in different versions this session several times for this committee. I'll point out just what this is showing. It's comparing the governor's recommendations for the fiscal year 10 and 11 supplemental budget as compared to the recommendations titled Environment Committee Recommendations are the ones in the DE2 amendment before the committee today. And as the important information, I think, that to give you an understanding of how these changes came about is if you look at the Environment Committee recommendations, the percentage change is listed for the agencies that are in this division, also PILT. And you can see they vary from 8.2 down to 0 on Minnesota Conservation Corps as far as changes, negative 8.2 on PCA. The next column over, a little bit farther to the right, takes into account not just the changes in this bill, but also changes that were made in the agency's budget since it was passed by the division or the legislature last session. What this takes into account is the on-allotments that were made by the governor. And here what you'll see is that the percentages are very, very close to each other. And in building the cuts, those on-allotments were considered. So the intention was to try to then really have the cuts the same across the agencies. The one exception there, the PCA is higher. The explanation for that is the PCA had some of their general fund cuts. One of them was replaced by environmental fund money. And so that brings that cut down into the same range as the other agencies had. And I'll show that to you in the detail when I go through. That's really what the other thing that's being shown here, obviously, is the target. If you look at the Environmental Committee recommendations columns, you'll follow that down to the very last row. You'll see that the net general fund effect of the DE2 amendment is a reduction of $16,300,000 from the appropriation. And in the little box down below, you'll see that that was what the target was. So that does, this bill reaches the target amount. Now I will move on to the more standard spreadsheet that has the details by agency. And that one should be Environment Natural Resource Finance 2010-11 supplemental budget up in the corner. The date down in the lower left corner of the one distributed should be 3/10/2010/256. That is one that was posted on the website also, so everyone had the opportunity to see that since yesterday afternoon. The summary and the top is the standard summary, and what you're seeing here is a comparison again of the governor's recs, the governor's tails, the House current budget recs, and then the House tails. Maybe the items to focus on, once again, on line 31 over on the House recs, you'll see that this bill cuts $16,300,000 out of the general fund appropriations for 2010 and 11 for the agencies. The individual agencies' cuts are the same as was on the last one, are listed up above. One column that you might want to focus on would be column U, which shows the changes between the governor and the House. Obviously, the governor only cut $13,059,000 out. The House had a target of $16,300,000. You'll see that most of those changes are additional reductions that the House, because of the higher target, had made into the agencies. And now I'd move into the agencies and go with a little bit of the detail. First agency down on line 34 is the Pollution Control Agency. And I'll really concentrate on the recommendations of the House Environment Committee in 2010 and 11, unless somebody has any questions on the other columns. The water operations and the PCA are cut in this budget out of the general fund by $485,000. What those are meant to reflect are attorney general costs that are incurred in that division. This is one where I said that was general fund was cut, but you will see down on line 46 that the environmental fund was increased by $485,000. In discussion with the agency, what we're going to be moving towards is and they are in their permit process and moving towards charging for those costs directly to as they are incurred, just as we did last year in changing some permit law. What this is doing is putting more of the cost that the agency incurs in activities, and in this case specifically the AG cost, onto the either the permit applicant or the other there are in other cases EIS or EAW applicants in the agency. Line 37 shows clean water partnership grant reductions. Line 30, $444,000 in the biennium. Line 38 shows county feedlot grant reductions of $304,000 in the biennium. Line 40 shows stormwater grant reductions at $100,000 in the biennium. Line 43 shows the Riverwatch grant program reduced by $50,000 over the biennium. Line 46 then is that increase from the environmental fund that would go up into water operations. Line 47, just as in the attorney general cost, the Riverwatch program was reduced by $50,000 in general fund. It is now on line 47 that $50,000 is replaced with environmental fund dollars. Those are the specific changes in the PCA waters division. If you move on to the next page, you'll see a few other changes. On line 52, the multimedia division, is column T shows the biennial reduction in the House DE2 amendment of $156,000. Line 53 is a reduction to the administrative support section of the agency, $161,000 in the biennium. Line 56 and 57 are notable because they're relatively large. The governor's recommendation was to cut operating budgets and grant programs out of the environmental fund in the agency at that 1.8 for operating and 1.6 for grants. The House DE2 amendment does not recommend taking those cuts. A sizable, significant difference as far as the continuing funding for the agency. Those are really the individual changes in the agency. The summaries down below just reflect the same numbers that you really saw on the first page, so I won't go over those. Moving into the DNR on line 72, this is divided by the divisions in the DNR, first being the Lands and Minerals Division beginning on line 74. The changes on line 75 through 79 are shown on column T once again that are being recommended in the delete all. Lands and Minerals operation is reduced by $248,000. Iron ore co-op research reduced by $152,000. Minerals co-op research by $12,000. And the supplemental mine land permit increases reduced by $230,000. Minerals diversification by $6,000. The total then reduction in that division is $648,000, as shown on line 83. By moving to the Waters Division on line 87, the reductions shown on line 88 is to the water resource management. That's the overall admin account in that division of $894,000. Line 89 is a reduction of the Mississippi Headwaters grant. That's really elimination of the grant in the second year of the biennium, $60,000. Moving over to page 3, line 90. The Leech Lake, Mississippi grant is $5,000. It's reduced. That's elimination of that grant. That grant is related to the previous one on the Mississippi Headwaters grant. On line 91, the Ring Dike grant program is reduced by $10,000 in the second year, and the Red River flood damage reduction grants are reduced by $11,000 on line 92. Total reduction on 96 for the Waters Division is $980,000 from the general fund. Forestry is the next division to move on to. Forestry, one of the largest general fund divisions in the Department of Natural Resources, so obviously we'll have some of the largest reductions. Line 101 shows the general and forestry management being reduced in the biennium by $1,234,000. Lines 102 shows a further reduction in forest management of $164,000 over the biennium. That funding was the one-time only special funding to try to fill the gap that in the forest division's operations last session. That's being reduced by the same percentage as the regular forest management. Number 103 is the firefighting account. This is not the open account, but it is the direct account, and it's recommended for a smaller reduction of $144,000. The intent there is that some pre-suppression costs could be reduced through efficiencies, and it would not have any effect on either the open appropriation nor the ability to fight fires. 104 is the forest info system is reduced by $28,000, and 105, the forest resource council is reduced by $160,000. Also on 107, the recommendation of the governor is adopted that $250,000 from the Game and Fish Fund be spent to continue the ecological classification system program within the forestry division. 109, 110, and 111 just show the summaries of those changes. Parks Division would be the next portion of the DNR, line 114. On line 115, the overall parks management is reduced by $980,000. On line 116, the trails and watersways management is reduced by $150,000. That's then a total in that division of $1,130,000 from the general fund reduced. Fish and Wildlife, the only change is on line 137. That is for the appropriation for bovine health is reduced in the second year by $400,000. Moving on to page 4, Ecological Resources is the next division. On line 147, the reduction is $336 to their overall management account, and on 148, $65,000 reduction to the harmful invasive species activities of the division. Line 154 would be the Enforcement Division reduction. That is $536,000 from the general fund over the biennium. Line 156 is adopting the governor's recommendation to statutorily appropriate to the Enforcement Division the court surcharges that have been collected but have not been appropriated to the department in the past. That's $145,000 a year. Moving down into the next division, that'd be operation support on line 164. The reduction on 165 is $110,000 over the biennium. In this division also, you'd move down to line 173, and the PILT reduction that's in the here is indicated on this line. It's a general fund open appropriation reduction of $2,813,000 over the biennium. As you saw on the front page, on biennium to biennium, that was a 6.5 reduction, and that is similar to the reductions that the agencies took in operations. The PILT reduction is recommended for that same 6.5. That ends the DNR. The rest of that is just summaries on their appropriation that add up to the top. So you move to page 5, you'll find the Bowser detail. On line 195 through 197 are the reductions to the various Bowser administrative accounts at $238,000 for their overall main admin. Wetland conservation reduced by $66,000 and drainage assistance administration by $28,000. Line 199 through line 210 are reductions to various grant programs within Bowser. I'll go through those quickly. The Natural Resources Grant reduced by $509,000. Soil and Water Conservation Grants reduced by $456,000. The Cost Share Feedlots by $64,000. The Regular Cost Share by $177,000. The Cost Share on the Vegetation Buffers by $125,000. Weed Management Cost Share reduced by $14,000. The Wetlands Conservation Grant to the DNR reduced by $14,000. The Wetland Conservation Grant for Metro Enforcement reduced by $14,000. Drainage Assistance Cost Share reduced by $14,000. The Red River Basin Board eliminated in the second year, that's $90,000. Minnesota Rivers Joint Powers Board Grant eliminated in the second year, that'd be $90,000 savings. floodplain management grants eliminated in the second year at savings of $130,000. On line 213, there's an entry of $310,000 for savings. That was a governor's and agency recommendation that redirects turned back cost share money to the general fund with a savings. That savings would be expected to be $310,000 beginning in 2011. Those would be the changes in Bowser. The next, Minnesota Conservation Corps. This bill has no changes recommended from their appropriated budget. Metro Parks is the next agency recommended for reductions of $412,000 over the biennium. Those really are the agencies. The totals then show up down below in the 240 through 253 are just adding up the different changes in the different funds. The next section where there are some reductions made and transfers made, I'll go through the revenue changes, transfers, and cancellations. On line 286, $335,000 is canceled in 2010. That is 2008 appropriation of the DNR for the Southeast flood. There were flood that was down in the southeast corner of the state in 2008. Those monies have not been used and are not expected to be used, will be canceled. Going to page 7, 287. It had a governor's rec of a reduction of $1,295,000 out of the Natural Resources Fund. None of those recommendations are in the House delete all amendment. 288 is transfer from the Game and Fish Fund for the court surcharge. This was recommended by the governor. And what it, the courts have been collecting this money. It has not been spent or appropriate. So what we're doing here is taking the governor's rec to transfer $900,000 of those dollars to the general fund for 2010. And for future years, that money is being appropriated to the Department of Natural Resources and the Enforcement Division as the governor recommended. 289 reflects the revenue from the stream loan program being directed to the general fund. That was a governor's recommendation that is in the delete all amendment. 2009 shows the Bowser transfer dollars. $310,000 of turnback money will be sent to the general fund. 291 Bowser is a cancellation of some flood cost share money from the 2008 flood. Bowser still has had appropriations left there. Those would be canceled. 292 is canceling clean water legacy money from 2008, I believe, that has not been spent, will be canceled, $775,000. And another pot of money from the southeast flood that was appropriated to originally to Deed, I believe, and then transferred to Bowser of $553,000 will be canceled. Down below is non-general fund transfers. Some of those just reflect the changes up above, really. I don't think I need to go into detail on any of those for people. Mr. Chair and members, that's pretty much is a summary of the details and the net effect to the general fund appropriations for the biennium and the supplemental budget, DE2.
Thank you, Mr. Reinhold. Representative Guinness, we have the DE2 in front of us now. Would you?
Yes, I would like to move the DE2 amendment to get the bill in the order that I would like and the order that reflects just what you've heard.
Representative Guinness has moved the DE2 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Most passed. Amendment is adopted, I'm sorry. Do you want to proceed with the DE2 at this time?
Well, members, the amendment totally reflects the spreadsheet. We can go over it again, but you would be hearing the very same things that you heard just before. If you'd like me to do that, we could do that. But I think it would be probably a better use of our time if we started taking questions.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Chair Patel. Representative Guinness, are we going to vote this out today, or what is your plan?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The Finance Committee expects it today. It's the deadline for all committees.
Thank you.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, Representative Guinness, do we have time allowed for tonight to continue this meeting, or I'm just curious. We need to hear from the agencies and the effect from them, and I can't believe we're going to do that in 1 hour.
Well, we can certainly hear from the agencies. We've been asking them all along for suggestions, and I think we do have time now. Nobody has put forth an amendment. We have asked constantly for suggestions. I have asked the agencies individually more than once for suggestions on how to reduce the budget. They have not wanted to give me suggestions. I understand that. This is a hard thing for us to do. Even though we like to talk about cuts, it's very difficult, and I understand that. So we have not gotten suggestions. I've had multiple meetings with the agencies. I have gotten no suggestions for cuts. But I do think it's appropriate, if you all have questions for me, and to have the agencies come forth if they choose to do so.
Any further questions?
Yeah.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Wagenius. It appears, just going through here quickly, it appears like we're really cutting two of the biggest industries that we have in the state when it comes to mining and agriculture, as if we're in forestry. These are the industries that will create jobs, obviously. And the thought process, and one in particular, about the county feedlot programs, what was the thought process about cutting those? Because those are essential, again, to help grow jobs in this area.
Representative Guinness.
First of all, to the forestry, if you will look on the spreadsheet that shows the total cuts, the cumulative of cuts with the governor's cuts, forestry actually gets less cuts. I was thinking about that as we worked on this bill. Everybody did have to take a cut, but proportionately, forestry fared better than a lot of other folks. I mean, they did get cut, but the cut was not as high as everybody else's. With regard to the feedlots, we talked to the Pollution Control Agency about the spending patterns, and I think you'll see that the spending for feedlot is a proportional reduction to the overall budget.
Representative Dillon.
Thank you, Chair Purcell, Representative Guinness. I know that you've asked me a fair number of times in the last week to come up with something, and I mean it kind of feels like, and it's no fault of yours and no fault of anybody really on this committee, but it, you know, it kind of felt like walking the plank.
No.
Yeah, it's not good. I just think that with, you know that I can't let the spreadsheet go, recognizing the difficulty we're in, without again talking about the implications of paying a state's real estate taxes or an individual's real estate taxes. So I'm really fine with cutting PIL. But in that same breath, I want you to hear that I also think that this should start a process of selling land that the state owns. And it should be immediate. Because when you own too many properties, if you own too many rental houses, or you've got a house in Florida and you live here and you lose your job, what do? You have a short sale on your house, or you turn it back to the bank. And I just can't see why we would penalize counties, particularly counties, because we have accumulated all this land. Some of it at our doing, and some of it dates clear back to another century, for that matter. And so it's not just our fault. It's the people that preceded us by over 100 years. Their fault, too. And we all thought we were doing the right thing, and today it doesn't feel quite as good. So I'm willing to support the spreadsheet, the cut part in the PILT, as long as we can begin the immediate process of selling land. And I'm not talking about the process that we've been debating in the lands bill, where we ordered the DNR to sell $6 million worth of land in 2005, and that still hasn't been fulfilled. What I think we need is some kind of an amendment or language that allows the counties to be involved in the priority setting of what lands would be sold in each county in conjunction with the department and the state. And, you know, kind of it kind of just makes me feel terrible about this, especially, you know, I mean, I'm supporting acquiring another $18 million worth of public land, but yet we're telling the same people where we're applying it. And I feel like it's a broken record. But it just needs to be reconciled, no different than anyone else in this building, no better than any other business in this state or any person's home or personal family or a college kid that's out there trying to pay his tuition and he's got too expensive of a car. And so he buys a go-kart because it's less expensive and he can afford that. We can't afford all this. So, again, I'm willing to go along with the cuts. It won't be pretty, but we need to start doing what everyone else is doing in this instance, and that's doing something that wouldn't be very popular.
Representative Gagnon.
With regard to the PILT issue, I think you all had an opportunity to hear the legislative auditor's report on PILT. And there seem to be multiple problems with PILT, one of which is that it affects counties differently. So some counties are doing really well. Otter Tail was mentioned in the auditor's report is doing particularly well. Aiken was mentioned in the auditor's report is not doing as well as everybody else. So you have to ask if our formulas are correct, and I think that's the first thing question. We discussed this very issue in Representative Murphy's committee last night because they have jurisdiction over the new money that is where we're going to be purchasing a lot of lands. And one of, I think, the upshots of that discussion, and it was a discussion, was that it might be wise of all of us to ask House Research, the auditor, and Mr. Reinholz, to this summer really do an in-depth study of PILT to make sure it reflects what we really want it to reflect. I think we all assume that it should replace property tax dollars, but that's not the way it works. So I am of the opinion that it would be a very good idea for the for House Research to spend time and have a summer project on PILT and make recommendations for us for reform in the way it's done now. But the second piece of this puzzle is as we are buying new lands with the heritage money, we have to discuss the issue, the other issue that the legislative auditor brought up, which was as we buy new lands, we have less money to manage what we already have, and we don't have enough money to manage what we already have. And the auditor was speculating then that our lands that we already have will deteriorate. So one of the things that we can talk about is something we've talked about in this committee last year, which I still support, is that when we buy a new piece of property, we set aside money for that county to divide with that township, et cetera. That has been called the Dill proposal in other committees. And I think that is perhaps the wave of the future. I hope it's the wave of the future. We have gotten no, other than the House discussing it, none of the people in the agencies have come forth with a plan yet.
Representative Dill.
Well, I'm going to take the second part first. I think that the members of this committee certainly and many people in the legislature now have their eye on this ball, even if they're not affected. If you're in a county that, well, your county, Representative Hansen's county, that doesn't have less than 5% public land. I think everybody's starting to get this. And I think that for the future, it looks like that we are headed in a direction that is very likely being planned out, at least talked about, and probably sustainable. I want to go back and talk about the problem at hand, you know, so really you have two problems. One is the land you're going to buy in the future, how you're going to pay these payments, because we don't know that we have the money coming in to pay extra payments, and it's not any different in our state parks. You know, I mean, we buy all these state parks and we put all these things, but we got over $100 million in deferred maintenance. I mean, we just keep doing the same thing over and over. And I learned in business that if you do the same thing over and over and over, you don't either get ahead or you fail, one of the two. So you can decide which that's going to be. But one thing I did want to say to the committee was with regard to this issue in the auditor's report. And you're correct. I read it. You hit it exactly what they said you represented here. One of the things that, let's just take Lake Vermilion State Park, since it's fresh in front of everyone's mind, and that's kind of a tricky one too to take, because there's so-called supercharged pilt in there, where the local jurisdictions are going to get some extra cash out of that for being a part of it. But the real side of that is that even though the pilt may work in some instances where the formula has more money coming into the counties or the local unit of government than they would get if they were just taxing the raw land, what happens when it becomes public land is you give up all hope that it produces more than it does in its current state. And for example, at Lake Vermilion on the U.S. Steel property, you know, it's estimated that there could be as many as 175 new homes at $500,000 at the bottom price, and that those people that own those homes would be doing business in a community that is failing. The school, the K-12 school, is within sight of the state park. You can stand on the steps of the school and see the state park, but yet next year that school is going to be closed. But yet it's within sight of the state park. So it's when you take away the opportunity to succeed, sometimes they have to have more. You have to have more payments in that formula, and I would agree with you that those formulas need to be looked at. And I'm not sure what the anomalies are, but I know that in counties like Representative Anzell's and mine and Representative Purcell's and places where more than 80% of your land is dominated by, certainly more than 50, is dominated by public lands, it's just very difficult. So I think everybody gets what I'm saying. I'll quit saying it for the time being. But there needs to be a remedy for this shorter-term problem while we look out at the situation that you described with the new money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there's cuts in this budget that I don't like. And I think we all have to face the fact, and I tell everybody that comes into my office, including most of my constituents, that if you think these cuts are bad, just wait till the next biennium. Because we have been suffering with this economic downturn that began in 2006. And it's not coming back like we had all hoped it would come back. I recently did a survey in my district, and what I got back from the people who answered the survey, it was 500 people, was that 38% of them had received wage cuts in the past year. And I think that we all have to understand just what's going on here. I think this budget is good because it relies very little on one-time money or shifts. We have to get the state budget in structural order, and I think that we have to prepare for the next biennium. And when you talk about opportunities to succeed, I think that people have to understand that we are in still a great deficit, and things are not going to be the way they used to be, and it's not in my district either. And I just had to say that we all have to take a part of this and be ready to prepare ourselves for the next deficit.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And people understand that the way the economy is and that there's going to be some difficult decisions. What we're concerned about is if whether or not it is the proportion is correct and across the board. You know, we've taken testimony from Bowser, and I think Representative Hansen acknowledged the great work that they have done as well. And I remember last year sitting on this committee when people were talking about ag country not doing our part when it comes to the environment, as far as environmental projects and stuff like that. But we had very good testimony and information saying that we have done a great deal, and it's working. And you take a look at the cuts for for Bowser and some of the others, and some towards the ag community in particular, it seems, like I said, it seems like it's a little disproportionate to some of the other areas. So again, talking about priorities here and what has been working, and make sure that we continue focusing on those. And again, when it comes to agriculture and mining and some of the others, that we recognize that these are job providers and that we want to be promoting them as well. So that's my point, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is Mr. Dashke or Ms. Blackburn in the room? Maybe if you could just come to the desk for a moment and provide their comment on the Bowser portion.
Director Jaskey, please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members, John Jaskey, Director, Board of Water and Soil Resources. Where to begin? You know, I think as the author of the bill indicated, you know, the cuts are everywhere. I think that's true in our agency. They're basically across the board in many different places, across the operations portion of our budget, across all of the grant programs, and so I think they're everywhere. I guess you can argue about whether one particular piece of it is more than the other, but I think that's maybe my general observation, is that it's across the board, and I think the others may say very similar things. So I don't have any more to add than that.
Representative Tarkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad to see Mr. Jaskey at the table looking over these alarming cuts in Bowser. I would like the author and Mr. Jaskey to address especially the floodplain management grants, cuts of $130,000. I believe that's an entire elimination of the budget for Area 2. And I would like to hear the logic behind that. I'm very familiar with their efforts out there. They've been going on for a long time, and it's a tremendously effective program. You know, eliminating programs to me in tough times is a horrible mistake. Cuts are fine, but and I understand the need for cuts and appreciate the need for cuts, but elimination is seems a bit extreme.
Director Jaskey.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Torkelson, as you indicated, that on line, I think you're referring to line 210, yes, and that is, as you described, there's a joint powers organization in southwestern Minnesota that has operated for, maybe the administrator could come up and talk about the long-term approach that they've used for flood control in that area, but it's a joint powers organization of counties that have managed to build projects over the years to do flood control, just as we have in other parts of the state. This reduction, which was not in the governor's recommendations, obviously would remove their administrative portion of the state's contribution to their budget. I don't know how much of that represents their total administrative budget. You have to ask Ms. Netsky if she has any information.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and a rationale for why. If you look at how the Senate approached the budgets, they did an across-the-board cut. And we did prioritize, and we looked at what we could eliminate, that in these very difficult times, and we have to have cuts that go into the subsequent bienniums where the budget is worse. So there are options out there. There are watershed districts that these entities or these regions could form watershed districts, and like other areas of the state where they have levied for these projects, rather than having the general taxpayers of Minnesota for that goal. So they have options, they have tools, and in this budget we are making choices and we're making priorities.
Representative Gaines.
And rather than concentrate our money on administrative costs in the bonding bill, and you may not know this, but I do sit on the bonding committee, we did a carve out of wetlands money as an option, not a mandate, for Area 2. I believe it's $2 million. Don't hold me to that, but it was real money. So it's not recognizing that area. It is recognizing it in a different way with federal money, with state money that, of course, generates immense amounts of federal money. So that's those are choices. I mean, things are changing, unfortunately.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Jaski, it's not if we're going to have a flood in Red River Valley, it's when and how bad. And I look at cuts to the Red River Basin Board, River Joint Powers Board, where they do planning how to control that flood the best they can. And I don't think now, you know, and I understand the pain that you went through, Chairman Wagenius, I really do. But this is not the time to cut those funds. And one of them is leveraged by another state and another country.
Representative Wagenius.
We're beyond planning in the Red River Valley right now. And in the bonding bill, I believe we put 60-some million, well, I know it was over $60 million. Dollars more than ever before, more than ever before for that area. So we're beyond planning stage now. We're into let's get it done stage, and the bonding bill is the let's get it done stage. I think one of the things that we've done too much of in Minnesota is have process. And you know, I preach outcomes. And so I think we are providing ample money for the Red River Valley in the bonding bill. Ample.
Representative Gunther.
More than the governor asked for, by the way.
I appreciate that. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm saying that in my mind, when we have a partnership with North Dakota and Canada for the complete overall picture of the problem that is in the Red River Valley, that's very unique. Where's it going? I don't think now is the time to end that. And I really worry that that is very counterproductive. Other than that, I can accept everything else.
Thank you.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jaski, I was having a little hard time hearing you. I don't have the best hearing, so maybe if you could speak up a little bit when you answer, that would help me. I'd like you to run through the effect of these cuts. Some of the other members have asked specifically, I'm assuming if the bonding bill, which can't be given to people to administer programs, that if the local governments have to kick in more money to administer the Red River Basin Board or Minnesota River Joint Powers Board, that their property taxes are going to have to go up. Representative Hansen mentioned they have the ability to levy. If I'm not mistaken, that's putting on the backs of property owners at a time when they're hurting. I'd like to hear you tell me what the effects on your agency that's doing this great work, that's now going to cut all these people or programs. What's the effect going to be on the ground? How many people are going to get laid off? How many people are going to lose their jobs? What's the cost when we lay off a state employee, the extra cost of the benefits and the package and that in this? I'd like you to run through from line 195. To line 200, well, you already really went through down to 207, I guess you haven't touched on, but I'd like to hear the effects of this over $1 million cuts to your agency that's doing this good work, and why in the world we'd want to do this in a time like this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I don't have all those details yet. We'll be working on those. You know, we just saw this late yesterday for the first time, and we had the watershed districts in town, so we met with them into the evening, so we haven't had any chance to put the numbers into those kinds of, you know, consequences as you described them. Under the governor's recommendation, we were looking at eliminating three positions and holding all of the other ones that we had vacant, so it would have resulted in two positions being, you know, vacated by people currently in them. One, the person had found a job in Iowa working for NRCS. I don't know what that means for the same kinds of effects based on this recommendation. We'd have to spend the next week or so putting that together and getting that information back to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Director Jaski, you've had no conversations with anybody in this committee about a proposal to cut, must be $1 million from your agency or more than that. It's $2 million. It would be 1.3 or whatever more than the governor. You've had no discussions with anybody about this proposal, the chair or nobody else, to talked to you about and asked you about what the effect would be if they were to cut these additional millions from your agency? What would happen?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, no, I saw this for the first time yesterday, as everyone else did, on the web posting. And so I haven't had a chance to go back and put together those specific kinds of things that you described. You know, generally, obviously, you know, the primary pieces of the of these programs are to provide projects on the ground and the technical assistance to accomplish those. And so there will be less of both of those things happening. But and they are, you know, as described in these specific grant programs, those will be the kinds of things that will be less of. But at this point, I just can't give you the those quantifications of those things you're requesting for each of those. We will be obviously putting those kinds of details together, and we'll get back to you at a later opportunity.
Representative Guinness.
Yes. Representative McNamara, if you'd look across on the page, the one with more detail, you're looking at the one with less detail. If you would look at the one with more detail, you'll see that the administration cut for Bowser is 3%. It is less than certainly less than the Senate, and it is probably less proportionate than many of the other cuts in this bill. Now, I would agree that a lot of the programming is cut, but Bowser is taking the same proportional cut overall to its budget that everybody else is taking, less than PCA and less than DNR, actually. So the problem here is that we had to make $16 million worth of cuts to meet the governor's mandate to us, and that's what we're doing here.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Jashke, just to follow up on Representative McNamara's questions, although you did not see the spreadsheet, you and your staff have been working or have been answering questions and have provided budget information to Mr. Reinhold. I know I've talked with you and I've talked with Ms. Blackburn on several occasions relating to items in this. So there has been communication going on. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, yes, we've been answering questions. That's absolutely correct.
Well, a follow-up to that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Hansen, share with us what the discussions were. What positions are you cutting? What jobs aren't going to get done? And why are we cutting $16 million in this environment when the governor cut 13? Representative Wagenius, Madam Chair, he didn't propose $16 million cuts. He proposed 13. We're cutting the environment more than the Republican governor. You're proposing to cut it more. You're cutting programs that are working a lot. And if you've had discussions of what people you're going to lay off and what work's not going to get done and what programs, we should hear before we vote in this committee what discussions you've had behind closed doors. Because we just got this after committee started, and we've been told we're going to vote on it at 10 o'clock. We've been twiddling our thumbs for a month here now, a month and a half, and all of a sudden we're going to jam down our throats, nailing the environment. This is wrong, and we deserve to have explanation. So if you've been talking behind closed doors, I'd like to know what you've been finding out.
Well, Representative McNamara, nobody's happier than me to hear you stand up for the environment. But help me, bear with me here. I got to direct some traffic. We've got a lot of folks. Representative Wagenius.
First of all, Representative McNamara, this was posted yesterday in the morning. So you did have an opportunity to look at it. That's one thing. Secondly, Mr. Reinholz presented this sheet to you talking about the governor's cuts, and the governor did one-time cuts into things like the Natural Resources Fund. We had a chat about that in this committee. We said we're not going to do one-time cuts, and we're not going to do cuts into dedicated funds. There are two consequences of cutting into dedicated funds. One is you're losing the trust of the people who put the money in the dedicated funds, and we didn't want to do that. But the governor had done so much of that that when we had to shift to general fund cuts, our cuts are bigger.
no question about it. The second issue is this. If you do one-time cuts from dedicated funds, your tails remain huge. We're facing a $4 or $5 billion budget deficit in the next biennium. We had a huge tails budget that we had to meet. We have met that with this budget. I have to say, I'm sitting here feeling like we're in role reversal. Don't you think? Here I am, a Democrat, saying we've got to have responsible budgeting over the next biennium, that one-time cuts and shifts are not what we should be doing. And that's, we had discussions in this committee all along about that. I was telling you all along about where we were going. If I didn't get any different direction from members of the committee or from the audience. I got no suggestions from members of the committee, and I got no suggestions from DNR. So if you want to know about discussions and private discussions, DNR said, we don't know what to do. We got a little bit of help from PCA with different spreadsheets. That was good. That was where we found we could take the Attorney General's money off the general fund and put it into the environment fund. That saved us all in the long run a lot. I think it's not in an agency's best interest to say to us, here, cut me this way. So I am not blaming them for not giving us some guidance on the cuts. If I were them in that position, I wouldn't do it either. So, but that does leave it then to us to make the decisions, and that's what we have to do.
Jim Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chair Wagenius, a few things. We just passed, the Ag Committee just passed the finance bill out of Ag Finance, of course, and the total budget is less than 0.5% of the total state budget agriculture. However, the it's 20% of the GDP, but the point is the cuts coming out of the Ag Committee were larger than the governor's recommendations. Here in the Environment Committee, the cuts that are being proposed by yourself here are larger than the governor's recommendations. My question is, where is the money being channeled? Since we're having larger cuts in so far the two committees that budget bills have been presented are larger than the governor's recs. Where's the money going?
Representative Wagenius, I just want to, just quickly, Representative Hansen's been waiting patiently here, and I've been trying to be fair about all this. So
let me answer this question directly. We're not doing the shifts and the gimmicks, and that's the difference. We are doing direct cuts that will have positive tails into the next biennium. So we could, in the other budgets, we could go over that, but in this budget, I can tell you it was the one-time cuts from things like the Environment Fund or the Natural Resources Fund, where the governor recommended over $1 million cuts, and we didn't do that. So,
Rep. Jim Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to respond to a couple of questions, you know, I have a large number of group homes in my district. And if it's a choice between spending $1 million on completely disabled people or spending $1 million that was appropriated but not spent, it's 2 years old, which is what you see in the in these cancellations of dollars, $1 million that was appropriated and not spent. But we can vote on that when we get to the Health and Human Services and those bills. That's a higher priority for me. To answer your question on what the communication was, after the communication, that's why you see a lower administrative cost reduction for Bowser itself. As you know, most of Bowser is distribution out to the local county SWCDs and working with the watershed districts and the WMOs. So instead of 6.5 for administration, because that would have, to my knowledge, resulted in at least 4 layoffs in the central office, 4 layoffs that they can't take, we put that to 3. So there's a shaving rather than a deeper cutting. I think if you ask Bowser, if they look at the Senate bill and they look at this bill, which one would they rather have? I think they'd rather have this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to complicate. I want to compliment Representative Wagenius for all her work and effort and on this huge task. I was struck by, I've been struck so far by the fact that Representative McNamara recognizes the importance of public sector jobs as well as he does private sector jobs. I think that's a kind of a breakthrough. I want to compliment Representative Scalzi for reminding us that this is nothing compared to what's around the corner. This is a walk in the park, if there's a park left. My view, and what is difficult for me, and everybody has their level of difficulty, and my sense is if we stayed here all day, we'd get even deeper set on what we don't like. Having said that, I just need to remind you all that in three counties of northern Minnesota, way over half of every inch of land is public. And the PILT payment thing is troubling. And it's difficult for me to look at our spreadsheet, which cuts into PILT more than the governor does. I think Representative Dill's notion of pursuing the idea of actually selling some public land has merit. And if between now and some point in the future the committee would seriously entertain that idea, it would be easier for me to vote for the spreadsheet.
Representative Hamlin.
Well, it's just a follow-up comment. I think we are going to have the opportunity to prioritize spending on people of disabilities over some of the other spending here once everything hits the House floor. Just a comment.
My two cents. I'd say what everybody else is saying. Basically, this is all tough stuff, but we know we have to do it. We aren't going to raise taxes, are we? So we have to proceed here and be careful. And this is hard. I don't like to see any of this. Representative Wagenius.
Perhaps there's some people from the audience who would like to say something.
Is there any testimony from the audience? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Just a moment. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just wading into the conversation, I think it's, thank you, Representative Wagenius, for, I think, a good process. And I know I said to you yesterday, we all think about wanting to be chair and wanting to be in the position where you have, frankly, a lot of power and responsibility. And in times like these, that's a hard position to be in. And I think the committee would agree there's probably no one better to do it than you. In terms of your understanding of these budgets and your ability to see the big picture. I go twice a week. I go over to the U and take a class on conservation biology and think about how to prioritize and how to get people to buy land and maintain land and change practices. And it's theoretical there, and then I come over here and look at these budgets and quite frankly do things when I'm wearing the hat of a student in the conservation biology program I wouldn't even think about doing, and I would probably rail against. And but I know that we are doing the responsible thing in the parameters we've been given. I think I've liked to prioritize folks maybe paying a little more to make some of these cuts a little less, but I know the governor won't be on board with that, and I have some of the members at this table expressing most frustration with these cuts would probably not be willing to do that either. This is when it matters, and this is when we really know who we are, and we're asking more of our agencies, we're asking more of people on the ground, and quite frankly, I think they're going to be able to do it, because Minnesota, we're blessed with good bureaucrats, so Minnesotans don't see the cuts that we've really had to do. And I want to thank them, the people who show up here every day and the people they represent, for doing that. Because you make these cuts possible for us to do, but you also make it a little difficult because, you know, people don't see the impacts of what we're doing. And hopefully they don't get to the point where they break. And I think we go to sleep at night and we're not having the debate and having the partisanship and just thinking about really who we are as a state, and it's just us and God. I hope we, in the next couple of years, think about that and come to the table and don't fight the little fight over 100,000 here and 100,000 there, but really, in our gut, remind ourselves of who Minnesotans are and why we can do government well and can have a strong belief that it can be done well, and it's the people who have helped us get through this because they keep doing their jobs and they keep making Minnesota work. And we do oversight and we have hard fights here and we probably are frustrating to them, and so I just wanted to make sure that they know we appreciate the job they do, and hopefully they'll communicate that with their agencies and as if they do have to go through layoffs, know that it's hard from all sides, and we need to be working together as a state.
Mr. Harnack, please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Harnack, project coordinator with the Red River Watershed Management Board. And, you know, to kind of restate a little bit of what you already have, you got really tough decisions to make, and they're not just ones that are short-term. They're ones that reach far out into the future. And we recognize that we also have to share part of that pain as we go forward and see that in the budgets, you know, with little cuts here, little cuts there. But I also acknowledge, you know, that some of this started back in 2000 when we went through this one time before. And as we continue to move forward with these reductions, part of my concern is we continue to just nickel and dime programs. And we really got to take a step back and say, we can no longer do these things and lay full programs on the table. I look at Bowser, I look at the Division of Waters in particular with their reductions, and they can't continue to be everything to everybody in wetlands and conservation and all these other programs. Maybe we got to say, the federal government's going to do wetlands, the state's going to step out of it, and we're going to focus on other areas. But we got to start making those tough decisions as well, rather than just saying, cut this little program and cut that little program. That said, I really appreciate the committee's effort to retain the Riverwatch program. I think our future leaders lie in our school kids. And the shift of funding to the Environmental Fund to maintain the integrity of that, we're really appreciative of. I do want to mention a concern about the Red River Basin Commission reductions. That is an international organization. We leverage that money with North Dakota, South Dakota, Manitoba, and the local entities. Last year, this legislature, along with the North Dakota legislature, appropriated money for the Basin Commission to conduct a long-term comprehensive flood damage reduction strategy. What this $90,000 does is take away the staffing capacity and potentially all the leveraging that goes with it with the other states to actually accomplish that. And it seems like the same thing applies within the context of, like, Bowser and DNR. We cut their administration, but we don't tell them what programs to reduce. I think these cuts being long-term, these agencies need to come back and say, we aren't going to do this anymore because we don't have the capacity to do it. So it was said that the local units of government can help pick up the slack. Us as watershed districts are doing our share. I sat in a Senate committee the other day and here asking for an increase in our borrowing authority so that we can do more. And they ask, how are you going to pay that off? We're going to pay it off within the limits of our current levy capacity, which is capped. But if you want us to do more, local governments have the capacity to do more, but then you got to give them the capacity to find the dollars to do more. And it isn't any easier to remove the levy limitations that local governments have because nobody wants to pay more property taxes. There needs to be a shared responsibility between the state and local government to see these things happen. My concern is, as I've seen the state walking away from their responsibility and accountability for these things and expecting local governments to pick up the slack. We can't do it. We can't be everything to everybody. So we're happy to help bring back and work with you and the agencies to set priorities on what are important to us. But then you need to give the flexibility for us to say these programs aren't going to be done anymore.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Harnack, thank you for the good work you do. And you brought up a really important point that we as a body need to make hard decisions and be innovative and think of ways to maybe eliminate things and not do this just cookie cutter across the board chicken to make decisions. I'll just remind the body that I had a bill, originally had some Democrat co-authors on it, to close the DNR tree seedling nurseries, currently operating at 20% capacity, millions of dollars in the forest nursery account, two of them, both operating at 20% capacity when the private sector is struggling, closing, going bankrupt. Our DNR nursery is operating at a loss, hundreds of thousands of dollars against statute. I had a common sense bill to move them out of that industry, let the private sector do what they know how to do, and the bill got killed. The union workers testified, don't do this bill. Find efficiencies in government is what you should do. Thank you, Mr. Harnack.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Harnack, just, I think it was alluded that we've got the flood going on now. We are not, this budget is not cutting anything in this current fiscal year, so you have appropriations through June 30th under this bill. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanson, that's correct. You know, I look at the Basin Commission and the responsibility to bring back a final comprehensive plan by, I think it's 2011. It's 2011. And certainly this brings into question whether or not they're going to have the capacity to complete that if these reductions are reality.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Harnack, I think this evening in Representative Eakin's committee, we're going to be hearing the landing bill, which is a different way of looking at some of this as well.
That's true, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
I have to say this, Representative McNamara, if you allow me to lighten it up just a little bit. If you call me Madam Chair one more time, I'm going to make you read Falk's bill. I'm going to make you read Falk's bill that you wanted me to read in the committee the other day. You know what I'm talking about. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Brenda Elmer. I'm a project coordinator at the Red River Basin Commission. I'm not a paid lobbyist. I'm staff at the Basin Commission. I happen to be down here for some other meetings when word came out of the proposed cut last night, so I'm glad my timing worked out well. I wanted to start off by first thanking Representative Wagenius and the members of the committee, because I've cut budgets before. I've been in a position, although not compounded like you're being challenged here today, and I know it's very difficult, so thank you for the leadership in going through it. It's a very difficult task. And so I won't repeat anything that Mr. Harnack said. I just want to, and I know that you're being approached by hundreds of people, thousands of people, on why they shouldn't be cut during these tough budget times. And that is what I wanted to highlight. Representative Gunther did mention the collaboration we have with the other jurisdictions in the area, the state of North Dakota, South Dakota, Manitoba. It's very unique being where we're positioned there in the Red River Basin. Representative Wagenius mentioned the bonding money that is going up towards that part of the state. However, what we do at the Basin Commission, those things are not bondable. Those things go away if you don't have the people to do them. We are working on things like modeling, flow reductions in the tributaries and on the main stem so that we can prevent the chronic flooding that we're seeing up in the Red River Valley. We are working on mitigating downstream impacts of a proposed diversion in the Fargo-Moorhead area. The Army Corps of Engineers is not addressing that. It's up to organizations like the Basin Commission that can pull those entities together. So we are doing those real things. Our focus right now is on the flooding, but we also do things on water quality and other conservation issues when flooding isn't our immediate threat. So those are very real things that we do. We work on a very lean budget. The pulling in the money, the matching funding, that will go away if this appropriation is in jeopardy. $90,000 a year doesn't sound like a lot, but it leverages a lot. And we are doing real things on very lean budgets. We ask any of the legislators from that area, Representative Marcourt, Representative Lanning, Representative Eakin, Senator Langseth, the list goes on and on. They're very aware and involved of our efforts in that area, and I invite you to speak to them if you have questions about what we do and if we're making a difference beyond just the planning that was referenced. So I stand for any questions. Otherwise, I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other testifiers from the audience? Seeing none.
I will move my motion. House File 2314 be passed and re-referred to Finance Committee as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Hamill. Oh, I just asked for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
The roll call has been requested. Representative Wagenius renews your motion.
Wagenius? Wagenius?
Aye.
Purcell?
Aye.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Anzos?
No.
Clark?
Yes.
Dill?
No.
Doty?
Yes.
Gunther?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Knuth?
Yes.
Lilly?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Scalzi?
Yes.
Torkelson?
No.
There are 9 ayes and 8 nays. The motion is adopted and the bill is passed. Referred to the Finance Committee. I don't think there's any further business before us today, so we stand adjourned.